Our most loving and kind Heavenly Father on high, in this morn we approach thy heavenly throne of grace to offer thee thanks for this new day, for thy watch care and guidance over us. And we especially ask thy blessing and thy spirit to guide and direct our hearts and our minds as we endeavor to be a blessing one to another, and that we may appreciate thy plans and purposes more. Help us, dear Lord, as we endeavor to fulfill our covenant of consecration to thee, and ask thy blessing to be upon this next service as our dear brother will minister unto us, in that we may be able to appreciate thy plans and purposes more for us. We do thank thee for the gifts that thy dear Son on our behalf who has made all this possible, as we realize that of our own selves we have no merit, but only through the precious blood of our dear Lord and Savior are we able to approach thee and call thee Abba Father and have a relationship with thee. We trust that this will continue on until thou hast said it is enough. And now we commit ourselves in thy hands and ask it all in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Our guest speaker is Brother Laddie Stewart. We have a special service for this first hour. The special service, Brother Laddie has titled, The Contract of Consecration. The Contract of Consecration, Brother Laddie.
Thank you, Brother Hart. Dearly beloved in the Lord, it's a privilege to be with you, especially on this occasion. The occasion is very special to me because Colleen is my niece. But more than that, she is my sister. And I'm especially joyful, especially glad that Sister Colleen has been able to come to Chicago. And in Chicago, her family has grown. It's a family that loves her for what she is, what she wants to be, what she wants to do. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of sitting down and talking with Colleen in reference to this very occasion at our convention in Columbus. And I came to the conclusion that she was making the right step. She knew what she was doing. And I saw in her your reflection. She has grown because of her relationship with you. And I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful. Turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter. I'd like to read a few verses here. Starting with the first verse, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the whole body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. This is the basis of consecration. This is the basis of baptism. And I was thinking how well our manna text that we had read for us this morning went along with the very thoughts that are expressed in the sixth chapter of Romans. The contract of consecration, instead of demanding one day of seven, demands and regulates our entire time. 7 days of the week, we are to fulfill this contract of consecration, this love to the Lord our God with all our hearts, our minds, and our soul. 7 days a week, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, because our neighbors are those that we are dying for. Some very good points to remember in reference to this particular manna text on this particular day. A contract. A contract is oftentimes a written agreement. This one is written in your heart, Sister Colleen. It must be written in your heart. And it's a contract that, as our text in Romans, the sixth chapter, brought to our attention, is a contract unto death. And it requires that you fulfill this manna text. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, no time off. This contract is binding upon you. The purpose of this contract is to set forth those things that each party to this contract is covenants to do. First of all, we'd like to talk to you about what your Father has covenanted to do for you in entering into this contract upon the acceptance thereof. First of all, your Father has promised you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter that he promised to his brethren some 1959 years ago, as far as this goes. This comforter is called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It is called the Spirit of wisdom. It is called the Spirit of a sound mind. It is called the Spirit of begettal. Your Father has promised that upon entering into this covenant relationship, that he would beget you to the divine nature, a spirit nature that is far above that of the human nature, and even far above that of angels. Only you and your Father knows for sure if this spirit begettal has taken place in you. The witness of this contract and to your life will know this only, that is, all these brethren here and all the brethren all over the world will know this only by what they see in the fruits that you bear. Maybe you've already sensed this growth within you. I surely have seen a goodly amount of growth in you, and I'm very thankful for that, as I mentioned. Your Father will not only beget you to this new nature, but he will provide the Holy Spirit, that is, his power, the same power that was used to create the universe, the same power that was used to create a rose in all its intricate detail. He will provide this power, and he will provide his influence to lead you to understand truth. I think that there is nothing that indicates more to us the power of God working in our life than that of coming to understand and appreciate truth. It is the one measuring tool that is very unique. If we understand the truth and the spirit of the truth, then we can be assured that we have the power and influence of God, that is, his Holy Spirit working in us. Many times you will have the opportunity to tell others that you have been baptized into Christ. Only the Spirit-begotten ones will really understand what this means to you and what it means to your life and what it means to your future. Your Father's power and influence is the marked acceptance of you being a member of the body of Christ. It is not intuition, it is not good feelings, and it is not your membership in the Chicago Bible Students or any other group or organization on earth. It is your Father's Spirit that makes you a member of this body. Only those that have the Holy Spirit will understand this. This contract also says that your Father will provide you clothing. Your Father will provide you a covering robe. It is called the robe of Christ's righteousness because as a human being, you have no righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, the scriptures say. And this covering will provide you for your standing in the presence of God. With this covering, you'll be able to come before the Father and say, "Our Father, my Father." Think of it. Access into the presence of your Father at any time, day or night, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you have this special privilege because of this clothing, this robe of Christ's righteousness that your Father provides for you. It will give you the right to come to Him and ask whatever you will, so long as that request is in harmony with your ultimate welfare. We've already mentioned the fact that your Heavenly Father will also provide you a family. Thank you. What a family. What a joy. Your Father will provide a family for you. This family will be different from most families that you know, for they will be Spirit-begotten new creatures just like you. Their hopes, their goals, their desires to overcome will be just like your hopes, your goals, and your desires. They will be in the flesh, just like you are in the flesh. And they'll have the same robe that covers that flesh, just as you have the robe of Christ's righteousness to cover your flesh. And when they bow down in prayer, they will ask forgiveness of the same Father that you bow down to. Your Father's hands are forming them just like His hands are forming you. And so when you look at your family, look not on them as individuals in the flesh, but look at them from the standpoint of the work that God is doing in them. And remember, if and providing they seem to rub you the wrong way or something happens, they receive forgiveness just like you receive forgiveness. And if you expect that forgiveness of the Heavenly Father, you too must forgive. Realize that they are striving for the same goal that you're striving. They fail, you fail. They are victorious, you're victorious. The brethren that are gathered here today are gathered here to express the fact that they're pulling for you, that they love you. They want you to make your calling election sure. They are willing to give for that purpose, even if it means life itself. They're willing to do that. And this sets before you an example. You too must have this attitude that is being expressed by them. You must have the attitude that you are willing to give to help them make their calling election sure. It's the all-important thing. It's the goal in your life. It's the only thing that matters because everything else is dead. Every hope, every aim, ambition is dead before you as it deals with the flesh. This love for you will oftentimes be unseen. When they study at home for preparation for the meeting, they are studying for you. But the only way that you can get benefit out of it is for you to be there and to receive from them. So that when you meet together, you will be lifted up, encouraged, and strengthened. That's why they study for you. When they go to conventions, it will be so that they can be blessed, so that upon returning, they can take and give the blessing to others, including you. They will often pray for you, and you may never even know that they are doing it. That's a love that is unequaled in the world. Your father will provide a bridegroom for you. A bridegroom. Picture in your mind of all the things that an earthly bridegroom could possibly provide, and then realize that it can't compare to what your heavenly bridegroom will provide. Happiness, love, purpose, care, protection, wealth, his name, a family, a home, food, health, companionship, and a relationship with the Father. This is the family that your Heavenly Father has promised that He'll provide for you under this contract. Your Father has also said that He'll provide examples. Your Father has and will continue to provide you examples. Patterns to follow. These examples may be the brethren in this very ecclesia, or it may be examples that come from afar off in another city or another country. It may be that your examples will be found in the prophets or the ancient worthies of old or the apostles or one of the messengers. We encourage you to think often on the pastor particularly, for it is written that he was faithful and wise. So think often on him because he was faithful and wise. But especially think often on your Lord, for there you have the perfect example. Each example has a purpose of assuring you that the journey that you are on has been trod by others. Maybe not to the same goal exactly, but to assure you that the victory is possible. Then there's love. Your Father will manifest the ultimate love to you. For He so loved you, He so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son for you to redeem you from Adamic condemnation, to justify you that you might have a standing before Him. And His love is manifested in His Son because He willingly gave His life. He truly loves His Father. And because He truly loves His Father, He was willing to do this for you and for all of us. No greater love hath any experience than when one lays down their life for another. And the rest of your life, however long that may be, will be used in learning about this love. Your Father will show you the love of Jesus. He will show you how He loved not only you, but all your brethren and all the world of mankind. It is a love that suffereth long, a love that is kind, a love that envieth not, a love that is not rash nor puffed up. It is a love that does not behave itself unseemly, that does not seek to promote itself, It is a love that is not provoked, that does not think evil of another. It is love that hates iniquity. It is a love that rejoices in truth. It is a positive love that is willing to bear and believe and hope all things. It is a love that everyone else's love fails, this love that your Father is teaching you about will endure whatever the Father provides or permits. The contract also calls for giving you a new life. Now, we talked about being begotten, but we're talking about two lives, really. Your Father will provide a new life for you now. And you've already experienced this new life to some extent. The things that you thought important in the past will grow and must grow less and less important. The people you associated with in the past will not hold the same place as they did once. They will want you to do other things for pleasure and for enjoyment. You will want to be with the Lord and with your family, because they're the ones that can help you make your calling and election sure. They are the only ones that can do it. In the future, if you are faithful to the Father and to the covenant that you have made, He will give you a life that cannot be compared to whatever hardship you may have to endure at the present time. He has promised to those that overcome the privilege of sitting in His throne. And He has promised a power to you over life and death. Think of the joy that will be yours in this life. And always hold this like as if it were a goal before you to reach forward to. Think of the joy of being able to raise one from the dead and bring them forth to walk up the highway of holiness. What a future life you're talking about. And the contract says that the Father will provide this if you're faithful to your covenant that you make. The contract calls for even the little details. How about food to eat? Your Father will provide for food that will nourish and strengthen you in your growth. The very purpose of the seventh messenger, the pastor, as stated by our Lord, was to provide meat for you. The word meat means food. It means nourishment. It does not, however, refer to natural food. The promise is for spiritual food, because what we're talking about here is spiritual life, the new creature that has been begun within you. Your Father promised that He would provide the food, but He will not spoon feed you. It is up to you to sit down at the table of the Lord and to feast on what He puts before you. It only comes about if you make yourself available to it. This contract calls for the benefit of vision. Oftentimes in business, we talk about health policies for our employees, and they like to have vision coverage in there where they can buy glasses at the cost of insurance. Well, you know, this contract calls for you to have special eyeglasses, as it were. Your Father will provide you with perfect vision. not the vision of the human, but the vision that sees beyond the human factor to see the beauties of truth, the beauty of love, perfect love. I always think when I get into this thought of vision about a gentleman that I had the opportunity of meeting at a state fair. He was a minister, and he had a marvelous talent. He could quote word for word out of the volumes. But he didn't understand. He wasn't able to see a single thing that he was quoting or that he could remember. This vision gives you the ability to see and understand. With this vision, you will be able to see clearly not only the things that are now history, but you will be able to see why they took place. Think of it. You will be able to understand the reason why. And you will be able to see how history affects the present. And you'll be able to see the results, the end results of what will happen. What the end results of all this time of trouble is. The end of God's plan. The restitution of the whole world of mankind. In addition to being able to see and understand history, you'll be able to see and understand the things that are taking place all around you today. The increase in crime. Man crying out for his rights. For a safe environment. A safe place to work. For health care. Education. All the things that happen in your life will have a new meaning because you'll be able to see why they're taking place. And as you look at the government's toppling before your very eyes, all nations gathering against Israel to tell her what she should do, you will smile in your heart because you will be able to, through this vision, see the end of this. Your Heavenly Father will provide you special hearing. The Father will provide you a unique ability to hear. You will be able to hear the voice of the gentle shepherd guiding you ever upward to be with him and with your Father. But this ability of hearing must be combined with the ability to understand the will of your Father. We encourage you to study diligently the role of the church, the character that must be developed, the plan, and what it is to accomplish. By doing this, the shepherd will need only to whisper, and you will know exactly what he would have you to do. Your Father will give you the sense of smell, the ability to smell the sweet incense that is acceptable to him. You'll be able to smell the sweet incense of other sacrifices that are taking place all around you. Cultivate this sense of smell and the appreciation of your brethren's sacrifice. Nothing seems more important in my mind than for you to be able to recognize the Father's overruling providence in another's footsteps. If you are not able to smell the sweet incense, it will mean that you are sick, that you have a cold. Remember the same promises that relate to you. That is, that he will lead you. He will guide you. He will shape you. He will make you one with him. Applies to each consecrated footstep follower of God. If he fails others, what confidence will you have to believe that he will not fail you? Therefore, we counsel you to use these spiritual senses of smell, the spiritual sense of smell, to appreciate the sacrifice of others. Well, the Father continues to provide for you. And you may have noticed already that in our thoughts that this seems to be almost 100% of what the Father will do for you. And that's what it seems like. Your Father will provide a wealth of instructional guides. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, we read, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting," and we could substitute a little thought here, "of Sister Colleen, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." He's doing this for you. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and await to deceive. But speak the word in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Your Father herein expresses deep love for you, for he has provided for your every need. From amongst the brethren, he has provided those that point you to the pastor, the seventh messenger to the church. The pastor has pointed you to the apostles and the evangelists, and they in turn have pointed you to the Lord and to the prophets and to faithful men of old. Some would have you believe, Sister Colleen, that the pastor did not address every matter necessary for you as a Christian. Your Father would have you look at this matter again. For he said in this Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Everything is given to you to that end, and nothing has been left out. Your Father has made the messenger both ruler over his goods, according to Matthew the 24th chapter, that is, over the truth, but also ruler over his household to give them meat, that is, food, truth, in due season. And that messenger, according to the account in Matthew the 24th chapter, according to the account, it says, he was wise and he was faithful. Oh, that we can receive such a commendation. Your Father has provided for you numerous instructional aids to help you in your Christian walk. Some will be easier for you to work with than others. They are all for you. The types, the shadows, the pictures, the psalms, the prophecies, the chronology, the parallels, the parables, the great cloud of witnesses in the ancient worthies. And then there's all the precious promises and the words of wisdom. And you've already taken advantage of those precious promises. Your Father may or may not choose that you have friends in the world. It is important for you to remain focused in all that you do. Every responsibility, every obligation that you have, that you assume, remains a privilege and a responsibility. Use them as stepping stones in your walk to fulfill your covenant of consecration until such a time as your Father sees fit to remove you from them. Health. When I think of health, take a look around your brethren. They are not perfect specimens of health, by no means. But your Father may or may not see fit that you have a healthy life. It's immaterial. It doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul had, as it were, a thorn in the flesh. And his Heavenly Father permitted that because he thought it was good. Think about that thorn in the flesh. It was his eyesight. The Apostle Paul, of all the people I could think of, surely could have used his eyesight. What a benefit it would have been to him. How he could have used that in the service of the Heavenly Father. And yet his Heavenly Father saw fit that he would not have that eyesight. To be a child of your Father is not a promise that you will have no problems in this life. In reality, the more you do, the more you serve, the more you give, the tireder, the weaker you will become. You may be called upon to suffer some of the worst incidents that any human being can endure. You may be called upon to endure loneliness, loss of family members in death. Whatever it is, your Father has promised you that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Not part of them, but all things. Remain focused on that point. Your Father will not permit more to come upon you than you can bear. That's a promise. Your Father is not out to destroy you as a new creature. He is out to destroy your flesh. Try to remember daily that those things that seem not to work for you, your good, is for the purpose of destroying your flesh. In today's world, it seems that every place we turn, you hear of people losing their job. Job security doesn't exist anymore. But your Father has promised to provide for you a lifetime job. First of all, there is a job of working on and within yourself. Secondly, there is a job of helping others that are walking in the same way. And lastly, upon being faithful even unto death, the job of blessing the teeming millions of mankind by lifting them up out of the graves and bringing them up the highway of holiness till they are able to stand perfect before your Father, ready, willing, and able to keep His perfect law. This job is referred to as the ministry of reconciliation. So you don't need to be concerned about being put out of a job. There is more before you to do than you can ever imagine of being able to accomplish. Well, brethren, there are many more things that our Heavenly Father has promised for us, that it's in this covenant of consecration. I think I'd like to kind of sum up this portion of it by saying that there's a guarantee attached to it. Everything that the Heavenly Father has promised you, Sister Colleen, is guaranteed. Your Father will provide for all things. A-L-L, not half, not a quarter, not 75%. All things to work together for your eternal good. Every detail, regardless of how small, will be for the purpose of developing within you a new creature which is properly nourished and exercised, if properly nourished and exercised, will be just right to become the bride of Christ. Your Father has never failed. His word goeth forth and returneth not unto him void, but accomplishes that which it was sent forth to do. In closing, and this is a short part, your part of the consecration, your part of the covenant, your part of the contract can probably be summed up by a very short scripture found in Proverbs 23:26. It's short. But stop and think of the depth of meaning therein. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. These simple words say, study to make thyself approved unto God. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be thou faithful unto death. They say, give, 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 and give again. For this is the covenant of consecration, which you have voluntarily and of your own free will covenanted to enter into. Now, Sister Colleen, I'd like to come forth and ask you a few questions. If you would arise, and I would like you to face your family, if you would. Do you, Sister Colleen, recognize yourself as a member of the fallen Adamic race, born in sin and chafed in iniquity? Do you, Sister Colleen, accept the merit of the shed blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your ransom price to redeem you from the sin of Adam?
Yes.
Have you, Sister Colleen, made a complete consecration of your right to human life forever, as well as a complete and whole unreserved consecration of your present life to the Lord? Based upon the affirmative response of the above questions, I submit to you this contract, and on behalf of our Heavenly Father, our loving bridegroom, and the brethren gathered here, and those scattered throughout the world, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship with this promise. It's found in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter and the 6th verse. It says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. He will not forsake thee. The Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother Laddie, for discussing the subject of consecration. Appreciate those thoughts. And welcome our new sister into the body. In closing, when you came in, there was a hymn slip passed out to you. And we'll close our service with that hymn. And upon its completion, Brother Laddie Stewart will dismiss us with prayer. We'll rise on the singing of the last verse, and then be seated for a few announcements and directions on how to get to the place of immersion. Thank you. Shall we all rise?
Almighty and loving Father, we come into thy hallowed presence, and we're approaching thee as our thy children to express our deep thankfulness, Father, for the way that thou hast led us, all that thou hast given us, and to especially ask that now that thou would pass, if it be thy will, this along to Sister Colleen, that thou would grant her thy spirit, thy power, thy influence, thy guidance, thy understanding, that she might walk in this narrow way, that thou would grant her enough experiences that she may be humbled and made to look always to thee for every help, every need, and enough joys, Father, that she might be strengthened and encouraged to continue on. We ask this not only for Sister Colleen, but upon each one of us, knowing the day is evil, knowing the time is short. Guide us and direct us, for we pray, in the loving name of Jesus, our bridegroom. Amen.